104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a big story of the day.
C-Mac and Zach by, and the offer has been extended. The offer has been accepted.
Whoa!
And we are just hashing out the details. Raj is back there trying to figure it all out.
Wheeling and dealing back there.
But we are, I mean, we could get breaking news at any moment about the specifics of Emmanuel Sanders coming into studio.
He likes talking about Emmanuel. Look, you know what I'm saying? That's his guy.
It's my guy. Thank you, Keith.
How long has this been going on?
Well, well, that's a good question. You say the Aqib clip August 3rd, 2017. So 2016, I guess. Yeah, the fall of 2016.
And what's the genesis of that? Can you kind of like can you catch me up a little bit if you don't mind?
Sure.
I know a lot of the details that have happened since then, but I don't know like the impetus for this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, things started with Emmanuel just fine. We talked to him when he first got here, and he threw Ben Roethlisberger under the bus. And that, Google it. It got all sorts of attention. He was praising Peyton Manning, but he threw Big Ben under the bus at the same time. We loved it. We thought, hey, that's awesome, right? Make it easy on us. Get plenty of attention. That's cool. And then things were, pretty good. I mean, we're going to the Super Bowl, and, things are pretty awesome. There's nothing really bad to say whatsoever. Although, he would, there'd be a little attitude left and right, Zach. There'd be like, I'd hear little stories about, he was supposed to do this and supposed to do that. But nothing like crazy. But I was in the locker room one day and I saw him verbally ban a reporter for talking to him. Mark Haas from Channel 4.
I remember that.
And I was like, what is going on here? So I did some digging into it, and I was critical about Emmanuel for doing that on the air, like, later that day, and he came after me. Because people are, we got a lot of weasels out in the listening audience. Great listeners. But we got some weasels out there that like to stir the pot and, at-tweet people and kind of go from there. And then from then on, it was this kind of crazy back and forth. So I'll just leave it there. But let me put it this way. I think we all sort of evolve as people, period. And I think he is not the same person he was 3 years ago. I think he's always been a great athlete. That's not in question. The dude is ridiculous.
He's special.
There's no doubt about it. But you need your special guys on a team to also be great leaders. And without great leadership from your best players, it's ugly. And we went through a time, you got Peyton Manning and DeMarcus Ware, Zach. You've got great leaders, okay? They're the loudest voices in the locker room. They're awesome. And when they both were gone, there was a void. And then there's Trevor Siemian, who just signed with the Jets. Did everybody see that?
Saw that.
Well, Trevor was, my favorite Trevor story in terms of leadership is when Vaughn called him Peter Parker.
hard to forget.
He's going up after a Broncos win. A Broncos win, yeah. Where he's the starting quarterback.
I remember.
Vaughn's coming off the stage, and Trevor's coming up. He goes, hey, Peter Parker. Trevor laughed because it's funny enough, I guess. But it's really an insult. You don't want to be Peter Parker. You want to be Spider-Man. Peter Parker's a wimp. Peter Parker's passive. Peter Parker is... You don't want to be known as Peter Parker.
But it was kind of spot on.
Oh, it's the nickname fit. Couldn't be a better nickname for who Trevor Siemian was. He was kind of a mild-mannered dude who looked to be like, maybe a junior partner in a hedge fund at some point. I think he did some sort of business or accounting internships while he was at Northwestern. He was, going to be the best player on the softball team for a good 10 years at, Anderson Consulting. And instead, he ended up in the NFL. He didn't plan on being in the NFL. Nobody really planned for him to be in the NFL. Went to Northwestern. I think he was actually studying communications, but I sort of want to say he was going to be an accountant. And there's nothing wrong with knowing numbers. Look at Ben Affleck. He was awesome as an accountant.
Give that movie a 7.
I liked it when he was just doing all the math, just drawing numbers on the window. I mean, I was like, this is awesome. And then it got a little... we don't have to dig into it. That being said, yeah, communication studies. But seriously, I think he was going to be an accountant or a hedge fund manager, junior associate. But then things with me and Sanders, it just got darker. You know, it got to the point where it got personal on both ends, by the way.
How did...
And I really, really, really did believe at a time, this guy is a poison pill for the Broncos right now. This is not good. Like, this is something that they don't need and is really having a negative impact on the team. And people thought it was personal, but it wasn't. It was never personal. It's never been personal.
Well, you just said it got personal on both sides.
Well, okay. Okay, good point. Yeah, but for me to be personal, I'd have to feel like there was some sort of personal connection I had with them, which I didn't. Maybe it wasn't personal on both sides. Maybe it was just antagonistic on both sides. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
And I think,
but it was on both sides, that's for sure.
I think some of the things that had been said, while they might not have been personal, like, hey, this is a personal attack, but you might have been pointing out something that's personal to him.
Perhaps. So... anyways, we've been recently back and forth on things. He kind of dies down. I don't really think about it. And then I think he brought it back up again.
He did. This past year.
A little bit out of the blue. Like
when he said, well, someone had tweeted at him about something about you. And I remember this. He said, D-Mac, he's like my son. He wants attention.
Yeah. Right, all that. Which, of course, is ridiculous. Like,
and I know me reading, I'll say, wait a second. He's not asking for your attention, but his name is coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, I guess that would be an interesting interview if we just went through all the tweets back and forth, if we actually did that.
Dialogue it. I like it.
And then, of course, there's, it's an emergency, driving. Like, it's a funny story, but seriously, that's the mind of somebody who's kind of in his own little world. Like, he thinks the rules don't quite apply to him.
And they probably never have, really.
No, but it's all right. It's all good. And he got slapped down by Antonio Brown when he was a little critical of Antonio Brown recently.
That was this offseason, right?
Yeah. I think we'd have a fun discussion. I think it'd be my first question to him, I'll just tell you, is why are you here? Like, think about this for a second. Why does he care about me at all?
I think I know.
Please explain.
I think that Emmanuel cares because you have in the past pointed out things. You always say this, what's your line?
I kill you with truth.
I kill you with truth. So a lot of times it's your truth. I don't agree with about 60% of the things that you say.
Oh, but, I don't know about that.
But, D-Mac, yes. I'll say this. You don't just say things to say them.
I do not.
It is your version of how you see things. Now, that version oftentimes lines up with my version and Emmanuel's version. And I think you have told some real truths about Emmanuel. And whether he wants to like it or not, I think he respects you challenging him. And I think there's been moments on his behalf of introspection, like thinking about himself and taking a look in the mirror. He's a grown-ass man with kids. In a long-standing relationship, there had to have been moments of reflection from some of the criticism that you have served his way. And whether he ever admits it or not, I think that he respects you.
Well, that would be cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I would say when you want to look at anybody, remember I brought up like Joe Flacco and his kids. Like, he's going to move here or not. Listen, as a dad, and you're a dad, now, right?
Yep. Babysitter.
And you probably, I would guess, you live your life and think about life differently now than you did 2 years ago.
Sure. Definitely.
I think it's fair to say, without going into all the specific details, Emmanuel had a pretty interesting personal life with kids and women and all that. That is much more stable now than it was a couple of years ago. I think that's fair without, you know, going into any kind of detail.
Well, I mean, just recently I saw, I mean, literally as recent as like, I want to say like a week ago, hopefully the timing's not off on that, but it's very recent regardless. Him, I'm on Instagram, he's on Instagram. And he'll pop up on my feed sometimes of people that have liked his stuff that I'm associated with. And it was a glowing, like, over-the-top endorsement glowing message to his girlfriend and how much she means to him and how seriously he takes their relationship.
Good,
and
good. I'm happy to hear that. That wasn't always the case. As recently as just a couple years ago. So I'm glad things are good in that department. The difference with me, I guess, is, you know, I've got a 19-year-old and a 16-and-a-half-year-old. Like, things aren't that much different in my personal life for basically the past 15 years. You know what I mean? Like, sure. things are more or less for me just, I live in the same house, I got the same job, I, you know, make around the same money. I mean, you know, I'm pretty freaking boring. So, but there's a level of stability, I hope, that comes across that when I give you my opinion, it's from just my opinion. And it's not being shaped. I haven't been going through like a divorce. I'm not drinking. I don't do drugs. I'm boring. I like my boringness. I'll check in on my boringness.
As someone who was out with you in New Orleans and you turned in at about 9:30.
Yeah.
I can give you that stamp, that cosign.
Yeah, because that's not the way I used to be.
Sure.
When I was first covering the NFL in the mid-90s, and I was in New Orleans, when I was in my 20s, without kids, watching the Packers-Patriots with, like, Tony Eason? I don't know. And Brett Favre. Zach, I shut down the French Quarter. Mm. My man. I mean, there's not a cobblestone on that road that I wasn't familiar with over, you know. And that wasn't my only time to New Orleans and other places. And I know I'm a different person from that point to this point.
That's a good thing, by the way.
Oh, it's definitely, I mean,
if you're still riding that sort of lightning bolt 25 years after the fact, you know, first of all, there's probably going to be a couple organs that tap out, as well as relationships in your life.
Well, that's right. I'm just a different dude.
Sure.
But I've been the same dude for quite a long time. And this is completely understandable, by the way, that you go through changes in your late 20s and early 30s that probably stabilize by the time you hit 42. You know, and I'll be 50 in June. So when I look at Sanders now, I definitely want to look at him through the prism of, well, what was I like during that period of time?
That's good on you.
And so I made tons of mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. It's just that when you have somebody a little bit older sort of point that out to you, you probably don't really want to hear it. But I look at Emmanuel now and I'm like, he is in a position to have the greatest time of his career. Now, this injury sucks because he probably was ready to go through a renegotiation and deservedly so. And I've said that multiple times. So I think I've been pretty kind to Emmanuel. I said if it wasn't for the injury, he'd be well within his rights to go ask for more money, especially with Demaryius gone.
Which he was going to do. I mean, when he sat here, Pritchard and Cecil had him in studio. He was doing like a promo thing down the hallway. DT gets traded. They say, can you come in here? They asked him a simple question. Do you want to be a Bronco next year? And his response was telling. He said, we'll see.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like he was hoping for a payday, as most people in his position would be.
Yeah, but I'll cut him some slack on that too, because things are real emotional right after the season's over, and you gotta let things play out. So I hope that his Achilles recovery is doing well. I think he's a critically important person for the Broncos. I'm glad. I would rather have him here than Antonio Brown. This is nothing new. We've said all this before.
For sure.
So on the surface, as a football player, I'm a big fan. And this is the year. Now, this will be the test. Will Emmanuel Sanders be a captain of the offense? He should be. Think about it. You know, last year was Matt Paradis and Trevor Siemian.
That was obviously, 2 years ago.
No.
Siemian wasn't on the team.
Oh, okay. No, it was Keenum. Sorry. Quarterback.
Yep.
Quarterback's got to be the captain, unfortunately. It's just the way it goes. But besides Joe Flacco on the offense this year, who else is a bigger leader than Emmanuel Sanders? First of all, there's barely any guys on offense that were in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say the bones.
Can't be Ron Leary.
And it wouldn't be Ron Leary.
Can't be any of the running backs. Can't be any of the other receivers. It's nobody. It's Sanders. Matt Paradis is gone.
It should be a foregone conclusion, right?
Yes. And if I'm Sanders, man, I'd definitely ask him about that and go through it all and blah, 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 blah. So it should be fun. So that's got me excited. Hopefully we have some more specific details. But this could be happening, by the way, soon. Like, not today, but soon.
Like tomorrow?
Maybe.
Oh, please let it happen.
Dude. I actually was hoping it would kind of spread out a little bit. We could hype it up and that, sure. But it may happen like... I don't know.
Well,
soon.
I knew.
Should be fun.
I knew when our station account on Twitter tweeted at Emmanuel. Well, yeah. Emmanuel. Well, you failed to mention this. Kind of set it up the right way. Emmanuel tweeted. What was it today or earlier today or was it yesterday? Saying that like I'm down. He said I'm down. Have your people contact me.
Yeah. Well, it was out there for about a week because Ken kind of came up again out of the blue, and I was like, come on in. And by the way, I did not feel like that. For the past year. To me, people have brought it up, and I was like, I don't think so. I don't think it would be cool.
It was too much heat, right? Too much like actual friction.
The season, this team, last year's team, and the coaching staff, and their decisions, it just was all stinging. It was just an ugly, ugly mess. I feel in such a great mood.
You have a renewed spirit.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. I've got a renewed spirit about everything.
I like this version of you.
Well, this is always who I've been. It's just that I've keep it honest.
Sure.
I kill you with truth.
Sure, sure.
And if tell me the past 2 years haven't been just absolute misery.
First back-to-back losing season since Nixon was the president. And it came by way of the most, in terms of the 17 season, the most blowouts in professional football.
Yeah, I mean, we're going back to like the 60s when they had double-digit back-to-back loss losing seasons. In the 60s, the Broncos, Zach, they were brutal.
Well, the more
awful.
The more I thought about the 17 season, I can't believe they won 5 games.
I know, me neither.
I actually can't believe they stumbled their way
right.
to 5 victories.
They easily could have lost against the Chargers and the Steelers and had a 4-win season. Easily. Easily.
Well, I'm talking about the 17 season.
Oh, the 17 season.
Where they were 5-11. And you can throw the Chargers in there because you got to remember Monday Night Football. When Shelby Harris gets his hand on the Youngway Koo field goal.
Right, that was lucky. Should have lost the first game of the year.
Then you beat Dallas week 2 that season. You went to 2-0.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted to pay Trevor. And then week 3, the Buffalo Bills lost when Vaughn went to go help up Tyrod Taylor.
All right, 15-yard penalty.
Score on that drive. You lose by 1 possession. Then they beat the Raiders week 4.
You got a good memory, but I'm impressed.
Well, I'm saying they started 3-1 but ended up winning 5 games.
So we may have some kumbaya moments happening here, and I think it'd be fun to listen to. Kudos to Mark Schlereth for having dinner with Brendan Langley.
What was that? What was that? I listened to the first hour of that show this morning. And they didn't mention it. Did they talk about it?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
I heard it in the 8 o'clock hour for sure.
It's an interesting shirt he was wearing. It looked like one of your shirts with like paint on it.
I know.
But I think that one was by design.
Maybe. But listen, I'm the only thing that lost me about Brendan Langley is the whole I got to feed my family and then lifted off like 12. Was he stealing dinner rolls and ordering an extra dessert in a to-go box last night? It's just don't use the feed my family thing, okay? If you really want to feed your family, get a more stable job than the professional, professional football.
I got to say this about Mark. Mark has a big heart.
Mark is a good guy.
He has a really good guy. I love Mark Schlereth. And the fact that he, would spend time with Brendan Langley, good on him, man.
A friend of mine reached out and said, are you going to have dinner with Emmanuel? I was like, no. No dinner.
Lunch with a legend.
No, thank you. Don't want dinner. That's okay. I'm not good on dinners. Lunches are just, if I gotta with the lunches. Dinners, no way. I like a good sturdy like breakfast or brunch. It's really kind of more up my alley. You want to meet with me at 9:30 at La Peep? I am in.
I have got to tell this story real quick, and it's a 15-second story. you at dinner in New Orleans. No, we were in Mobile, Alabama, and we got the whole staff together.
That
was one of the most fun trips of my life. I'll remember it forever.
Loved it.
And you're at the end of the table, and we're all having fun, we're laughing, and you got your phone flipped sideways.
Yeah.
And you didn't talk to anyone for about 5 minutes. I said, D-Mac, what are you doing over there?
What was I doing?
He said, he turned the phone around, you go, I'm watching the Smoky Hill basketball game. Like, dude.
I'm sure it was a big game.
Like, dude.
I'm sure that was
a big game. I know you love Kenny. But we're
love.
At Mobile as a team. I'm like, put your phone away, D-Mac.
That's so funny. By the way, so you brought it up. Congratulations to my guy, Kenny Foster.
You got player of the year, right?
Gatorade player of the year and Basketball Colorado. It's a Twitter or it's an organization. Player of the year as well there. So, way to go, Kenny. Go Pokes. He'll be starting for Wyoming next year. Player, I told you.
You did.
We have the best player.
You told
player.
Me 2 years ago when the kid was like a sophomore.
I said, we got the best player in Colorado, and he's now recognized as the player of the year.
Can I share something 10 seconds with you?
Sure.
There's a kid from near my hometown in upstate New York. His name's Joe Girard. He broke the New York State scoring record by the end of his junior year. He's one of the all-time national leaders. Coach K flew into Albany, New York, went to his house. Everyone wanted him. You know where he committed?
Wyoming?
Syracuse.
Oh, okay. Well,
so you're going to be watching him for the next 4 years.
Awesome. And we'll get to the bracket challenge and why you got to do that. My man, Kenny, congratulations. You deserve all the credit in the world. There are some Colorado schools that passed on him. It's ridiculous. Stanford passed on him. He's got a 4.25 GPA. Stanford's terrible. That was a big loss on their part. So I hope he goes up to Laramie and he just crushes it. You won't find a bigger Wyoming basketball fan than me for the next 4 years. When we come back, though, as great as the Emmanuel Sanders stuff was, do we have any breaking news, Raj? On the other side? Okay. All right. The Broncos are about to do something that I freaking love. It's got to do with the draft. It is awesome. I am pumped up. Details coming up next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
We are not quite there, but Emmanuel Sanders coming in studio is, I mean, I think we're at like 97%.
Feels like that.
I mean, I think there's one last T to cross, one last I to dot, and we can give you the specifics of it coming up very, very soon.
So, what Halloween party?
What Halloween party? It was an emergency, right?
That's what it's there for.
Well, I play for the Broncos.
Can't have those moments anymore. We'll get into it. It'll be fun to play some of this sound for Emmanuel and say, well, okay, let's talk about it.
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I got a game on Sunday, man.
That's cool. Here's what I love. This is some great news. D-Mac, Zach Bye, the Broncos are going to have visits with Dwayne Haskins and Drew Locke. That's what I'm talking about. There is no way, Zach, that they are going to draft Dwayne Haskins or Drew Locke, even if they're there. No, not going to happen.
How sure are you?
I'm not quite to the Orlando Franklin level.
Tattoo pending.
I can't, like, quite go there. Although Orlando should be at least, like, a little nervous on that whole tattoo bet that he made.
Look, we always say this, D-Mac. With John, you just don't know.
Very true. So, on draft night, if it does happen, and I spent a lot of times looking at mock drafts today. A lot of time.
Okay.
I mean, I may have looked at 10, 12 mock drafts today.
Okay.
I have seen mocks where Dwayne Haskins falls out of the top 10.
So that's that is the big question. If he falls, and John is sitting there staring at Dwayne Haskins at 10.
Crazy, right? Because here's what I've seen. A CBS Sports mock has the Giants making a deal for Rosen.
Come on.
Which makes sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
Like giving up a second round pick for Rosen, and then it has Tampa Bay taking Devin White, and then you just kind of go through the list. Well, Buffalo doesn't need one. Jacksonville doesn't need one. And you're like, boom, 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 boom. Here we are. Dwayne Haskins available for the Broncos. Drew Lock is available at 10 in every freaking thing. I have not seen, maybe I've seen one, but Drew Lock is just there. Mock after mock after mock, he's there. And why I like the mock drafts, Zach, is none of them are like completely 100%, but it gives you a vibe, right? It gives you a feel of sort of building consensus amongst a lot of people that spend time looking at these type of things. So you got to look at a lot of them. You can't just look at one or two. You got to look at a lot of them to see what the trends are. If Kyler Murray's not the number one overall pick, I will be stunned.
It feels like
I will be stunned.
It feels like there's so much toothpaste out of that tube that it's not going back in with Josh Rosen. Like they cannot return to Josh Rosen after everything that's been said and meeting with Kyler yesterday.
Yeah, I'll give you another kind of a common consensus thing. My guy DK Metcalf is a 15 through 19 sort of guy. He's really not in the top 10 anywhere. But once you land around 15, 16, 17, he kind of pops up. There's a couple that have Marquise Brown from Oklahoma going ahead of DK Metcalf.
We talked a little bit about him yesterday.
Yep. Antonio Brown's nephew, cousin, something or other. He's related somehow. But now, if you looked at DK Metcalf, not at 10, but if you looked at him at 16 or 17, all of a sudden that sort of feels like, oh, okay. I feel a lot more comfortable with that than at 10. And by the way, at that point, Hockenson's gone. White's gone. Devin
Bush
is gone. You know, that sort of thing. So at that point, all of a sudden you're like, all right, well, maybe that makes sense. Now, here's the fun thing. Here's the real fun thing. Super duper fun. Garrett Bradbury, center, North Carolina State.
Right.
And Dalton Risner, Colorado's own. And I have seen mocks where the Broncos come back into the first round and pick up one of these two guys. Now, I'm going to talk about centers just for a second. You have to keep in mind, the Broncos, Zach, did make a swing at Mitch Morse, center from the Chiefs, who went to Buffalo, I think. You can double check me, but I think Buffalo. They also were in to a certain degree with Matt Paradis. So the concept that the Broncos are just totally in love with Connor McGovern, I'm not buying it.
They were totally in love with Ty Sambrillo 2 years ago when they said, you know, Tyler is our left tackle.
Garrett Bradbury, top-ranked center in the draft. Dalton Risner, who played more tackle, but they think he could play guard and, you know, that sort of thing. So Bradbury, to me, is one, and then Risner would be two. But think about this for a second, folks. Think about this for a second. What if the Broncos traded back to 15? Because there's two teams that may have some quarterback dreams, the Miami Dolphins and the Washington Redskins, both behind the Broncos, 13 and 15.
Right.
So what? Let's just say it's the Redskins, who now have Case Keenum, which is a terrible plan, we all know. And what if Dwayne Haskins just starts falling a little bit? You feeling me? What if you got to trade back at 15 with the Redskins? They go up to 10. They get Haskins. You get DK Metcalf. And with your capital, you move back up and you get your starting center for the next decade in Bradbury.
I like the concept of coming back in to get Bradbury late. Believe it or not, I saw Bradbury go at 10 on a mock draft today, and I'm just like,
I saw that too. It's unrealistic.
It is unrealistic.
Yeah.
I like what you're thinking, but moving back in at the end of the first or near the end of the first to get Bradbury. I still, and we can talk about this a little bit later if you want, I still do not love the idea of drafting a wide receiver, even if it's at 16, DK Metcalf. I just think this football team needs too much, D-Mac.
Yeah, but we're, okay, I gotcha. But this comes with another caveat, too. Devin White is gone. Every single mock I'm looking at these days, by the way, he ain't there at 10. And I talked to one of my little birdies today. The Broncos are not moving up, okay? So let's just play under that umbrella. All right, I'll continue the thought here in a second. We got to go to break. At 4 o'clock, we will have specific details.
Oh, boy.
Specific details of the battle of the century. And let's finish the thought here, because what the Broncos are doing is an awesome okey-doke. I mean, it is a sweet move if it works. We'll get there next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, we do have final confirmation on all the details about Emmanuel Sanders coming into studio, and we'll give you the specifics after 4 o'clock.
This is unbelievable.
Oof.
This is like three years in the making?
Yeah. I'd say so.
It's a big deal.
It should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It should be pay-per-view.
We'll give you And instead, I think we're just giving it away for free, Zach.
Giving it away.
I think there is going to be video of it, too, which, of course, will be awful for me. But, you know, that's fine. Details at 4 o'clock. Okay. The smoke screen I think the Broncos are going to perpetuate is pretty awesome. They're going to bring in Dwayne Haskins and Drew Lock. I think, Zach, well, I shouldn't say 100%, right? But I think it's just a total smoke screen to generate some interest. I looked at your guy, TJ Hockenson. I really studied him today.
Okay.
Really good athlete. It reminded me how terrible some defenses are in college football. I mean, there were so many times where he was just, like, wide open. And sometimes you get room like that in college football that you just don't get in the NFL.
As with all of these guys that you're going to look at.
Yeah, so you really got to take things with a grain of salt when you see some of these college highlights.
Well, I'm sure you saw him, like, high-pointing balls in coverage, right?
Yeah, but not like DK Metcalf. I mean, yeah, I saw him jump over a couple of suckers. Not that that doesn't happen in the NFL, but it doesn't happen with as much success in the NFL as perhaps college football. I saw an athletic guy, but he doesn't have the quickness of, like, Fant, who's, you know, a touch quicker than him and more of a wide receiver.
A touch, yeah.
And then I said, well, what about Travis Kelce? Because you said he's the next Travis Kelce.
Yep.
But the thing is, Travis Kelce wasn't Travis Kelce when he came out of Cincinnati. He had had some suspension issues. He didn't participate in the combine. He had a pro day. He had no measurables except for a 40-yard dash at all from his pro day at Cincinnati coming into the draft. And he went in the
third
round.
Yep.
And then I looked at George Kittle. George Kittle was a freak.
Another third-round pick out of Iowa.
Third-round guy. But, like, just number-wise, better than Hockenson in, like, everything. Faster, better, like, broad jump, so, all this sort of stuff.
See, but this is where you lose me a little bit, because you start talking about these guys and identifying raw numbers to who they are. Like, TJ Hockenson, if you ask me to describe TJ Hockenson, the first thing that I would say is, he's a great football player.
Here's the problem. And I agree with my homeboy Mike Evans on this one. You can find these type of Travis Kelce's or Kittle's, or you actually can find them in the third, fourth round. They are there. Julius Thomas was like a fourth round guy and was just a touchdown catching machine.
But can't you say that about every position in football, that like you can find guys like that, and there's examples all over the league that you can get these guys later?
To take a tight end at 10, Zach, though, it would just have... To me, he's too short to be that guy.
Wait, he's now, too short. He's 6'5", dude.
He's 6'4 and change.
Dude, he's... Okay, he's 6'4 and change.
Okay.
He's not too short.
How tall is Rob Gronkowski?
6'5", 6'6"?
He's bigger than that. He's closer to like the 6'6", 6'7".
Okay, so again, you are identifying raw numbers, you're attaching it to a football player, and say, hey, this is why he's not this other guy.
Zach, you love him, you love him. I'm not going to talk you out of loving the guy, because you obviously love him. But it's just not the right move. I understand how you feel about it. The better move is in free agency next year to go get Jesse James. Go get that proven tight end that's going to really catch some passes for you.
Okay, when
and
you
I'm
say,
not against I'm not against picking up another tight end somewhere else in the draft.
Well, we need to. I mean, like, if the draft comes and goes, and John Elway does not draft a tight end, it's a huge issue.
I'm going to give you a guy too. I'm not going to say this without looking at guys. I think it's Kahale or Kamale Waring out of San Diego State. Give him a peek. Give him a peek. He's one of these 6'6", 260, do-it-all sort of guys. He's not quite the, you know, all-around athlete, I suppose. When I was looking at Hockenson, I was looking at, like, wow, that just looks like kind of a bigger Andy Janovich.
Dude, you kill me. You kill me. You just equated Andy Janovich to T.J. Hockenson.
It's not that big of a difference in the NFL.
Well, of course it is. It's a dramatic difference. That's why T.J. Hockenson's mocked going as high as in the
top
10.
He's being way overrated.
D-Mac, you're just kind of like saying these things. You're saying it's not the right move. But then you're telling me that the Broncos should draft a project wide receiver.
You're pulling a Mike Evans on me. You're pulling a Mike Evans. Well, I'm not really saying that. I've adjusted my opinion a little bit.
Oh, growth.
Thanks. I said they're pulling a smokescreen with the quarterbacks to trade back and hopefully give themselves some capital where they could get DK Metcalf, but they can also get Garrett Bradbury or Dalton Risner. I would like to just go with the center. And you have two first-round guys. One thing, there was a really cool, this is an analytics thing, so I don't know how you are in analytics, but there was an analytics report that said the best deal for any team in any pro sport in the past year was Khalil Mack because of what it gave the Raiders. And one of their points was you never, with a cap, with teams that have a cap, you never really want to break the bank on any one player because it's just crippling for you. So for the Raiders to be able to get rid of a huge number in a down season anyway and to be able to build back up with draft picks, which inevitably are not going to cost you a lot of money right off the bat, is the way to go, which gives huge fire to your boy Stokely, who wanted to trade Von Miller last year. Never mind this year and probably next year as well. Huge, because if you're going to be bad anyway, Zach, and I would make the argument 6-10 is pretty bad.
It is. Well, the problem is the Broncos didn't think they were going to be bad.
That's right, because they foolishly thought Paxton Lynch was going to be able to play quarterback, which, again, was abysmal thinking. But I'm positive D-Mac now. I'm happy D-Mac. So if you think you're going to be so bad, then it's better to go from 5-11 to like 3-13, which is more or less what the Raiders did. Okay, the big announcement, all the specifics. Are we ready? Football at 4, next.